During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. It's Tuesday, February 25th, 2020. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. We haven't done too many shows together live this year. Bet you can count them on two hands. I mean, you know, we all been gone. How many shows have we done together in February?
Well, not many. You were in Super Bowl for a week. I was in Arizona for a week.
Repeat what you said again.
You were at the Super Bowl
for over a week. I was, wasn't I?
You were. Mm-hmm. And then the Chiefs won it, and you were there.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Go on.
How are you doing?
Jake was in an advance.
So I went to Miami January 26th. So I was going the 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th, 31st, and then the day after, the 3rd. So I didn't come back to Kansas City and do the show until the 4th. So the whole last week of January, and then when did you leave?
I left on Friday the 14th.
Okay.
I was here, though, to do the show that day.
So we've done like maybe a week of shows together. Jake's been gone. You know. How's it feel to be back together? Do you like it or do you not?
I feel great. I love being back.
It feels odd to me now.
Doesn't?
It feels like it doesn't fit.
You want me to leave? I'll call Drake.
I don't know.
I'll let you know by 6:30.
If you call Drake, will you have the right phone number?
Oh.
What happened?
Oh, here we go. I didn't know it was going to come out that early.
What happened?
That's what she said.
What?
Everything's a big setup with me. You know that, right?
I know that.
Everything
That's
I do
right.
is a big setup.
Wait.
I don't get it. Everything is just trying to get to the
get
next
it.
Thing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, what happened?
Well, first of all,
I'm not joking,
there?
Though.
First of all, let me tell you that I just opened up a can of CBD American Shaman Sparkling Coconut Water with grapefruit. This features 10 milligrams of nano hemp oil.
Nano. Miss you, Nano.
That's how you know it's good. So I need to calm my nerves before we have at this.
You have this out? Yeah, you get after this?
Yeah, there get been, some of that nano hemp.
Right.
I only thing I know that happened while I was gone is that apparently Todd Lebo likes to cuss on our radio show.
Right.
That happened.
Todd just
that's
dropped.
That's the only thing. I saw that on your Snapchat yesterday, and that's the only thing I know that happened.
If
period.
You want to play, I think the Anderson boys were playing the bleeped out version of what Lebo said. And so if you get your hands on that, then I'm sure that will make your greatest hits. And Todd, how long has it been since we've seen Todd that red-faced in studio? And then he was, you know.
I turned into a tomato.
And
huh?
So what? You know,
not
then he
tomato.
Just didn't care. And then I brought it up in the meeting afterwards. And,
tomato Todd. Oh, you did them like that?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Next, I walked into the meeting. I said, hey, who's paying the fine?
Oh,
and of
boy.
Of course, what fine?
Man.
And I said, the fine for Todd cussing on the air.
Wow.
He did, and then we went into it. Right. But everyone listening on the app and online heard it. And
that's
so they,
right.
You know,
oh, man, that hurt my soul. You threw him under the bus like that
sure
in the meeting.
Did.
Oh,
Todd,
hello, Monday.
Todd said, at least I didn't drop the F-bomb like I did back, you know, and he told him, you know.
Yep.
Wow. No. And so there's been this school of thought that
I'm still wondering
you
whose number I had wrong.
Attempted to sabotage your replacement in order to strengthen your job security and to make you look better in your absence.
I mean, do I need to make myself look better?
Well, that's I don't know. Did you do this on purpose?
I don't do anything on purpose.
Really? You don't do anything on purpose? So here's So
my life's one big accident.
So the first part of it, we didn't know whose fault it was because Drake kept calling Jeff Penner and the phone was like unavailable. It wasn't working. And so we kept calling. And so then Drake begins to prepare a forecast because he's going to serve as the weatherman. And then I guess Jeff Penner heard us talking about this. And so then Jeff Penner quickly called in. He goes, oh, I'm sorry I had my ringer off. I go, I don't think that was a problem because, you know, ringer off just goes to voicemail. It was saying that the line was not, you know, a bad line. So then, well, okay, we chalk it up. Maybe it was Penner, maybe it was whatever.
Right. This phone was off, right?
So then Drake tries to call Sam Mellinger twice, and both times gets an emergency room nurse's station.
Hmm.
Whoa.
And so so then he has to get so then we know something's up.
Yep.
And then Nate has to give what? Drake Sam Mellinger's number, and then it was the correct number. And so you had Drake calling a nurse's station in an emergency room twice looking for Sam Mellinger.
Is everybody
so
okay?
Right.
So well, then I called. Wondered. Yeah, we wondered.
We didn't know like what's going on here. And Sam, so we started calling Sam Nurse Mellinger, and we had a lot of fun with that. And so,
no, not intentionally.
Well, one's a mistake. Two, like, okay, is he trying to sabotage Drake to make him look bad? So then we get like, oh, finally, Jake's back here. This is a real train wreck without him.
Yeah. Well, man, I didn't do any of that.
So
I'm not that smart.
Well, Nate, what do you say? How do you
give me way too much?
How do you
credit.
Rule that?
I think that
I'd be kind of impressed if he did.
I think it was a little like, hey, look, you know, things don't work so smoothly when I'm gone. Yeah. Don't try to replace me because I'm the only one with all the numbers here.
You guys can't even call a guest. Yeah. So then
I'm just adding to my value.
So then I was very proud of when I said,
I'm sorry, Drake.
It sounds like Jake was operating at a very high level when he gave you those phone numbers.
Oh boy. Rocky Mountain.
Yeah, and then we look back and see, you know, we were getting a lot of 1:45 a.m. emails about the show.
We
know you don't sleep anyway. Like, you know, maybe it's just, you know, just a missed digit here or there.
Nah.
A lot of it came, but, you know, it all came together.
We did get a lot of emails from you between 1 and 2 a.m.
Right.
Well, I got home a little late on Sunday, and then I...
But that's when you do your best emailing.
It really, you do.
Except for the phone number part.
Well... I was distracted. I will be honest. I was doing work, but I was also, I had to catch up on the last two episodes of Outsider.
Well, let me tell you this.
Oh, wow.
That show affects my sleep.
Dude, no kidding.
That's because I have, and Susan has said the same thing, and I'm not trying to discourage anyone from watching it. I encourage people to watch it because it's well done.
No, dude.
And it's very deep, and it's very...
Stephen King's,
disturbing, but... I have had several nightmares because of that show, because it hits too close to home for me and my grandmother and my mother's threats over the years as when I was a child of El Cucuy coming to take me away and eat me. Dude, and, you know...
I don't even have to be asleep. I'm having, like,
with you.
Daymares.
Right. Like no, that, I think like, about, I'll think about it. Like, it's just so freaky. Because there's certain movies... Like, slasher movies don't scare me. Like, when I was a kid, I used to like going to see Halloween and Friday the 13th. Because, you know, my dad would... My
it's
dad,
not close enough to reality.
Like, those are comedies for my dad. My dad get a big chuckle. Oh, Michael Myers going to get this guy. Look at this idiot. You know, he liked that. Right, you know. Yeah, leave the door open, moron. And so...
Yeah, go check the attic,
right,
idiot.
Yeah, you got him.
By yourself.
And my dad would... I feel like my dad would almost be rooting for...
Right.
Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees and Freddy Krueger to, you know, eliminate the dummies, you know, whatever. And so,
natural selection.
But like that stuff, like this deep stuff from The Outsider on HBO, it's on Sunday nights, there's two episodes left. Yeah.
Yeah.
That gets to me.
I caught up and I,
And I'm just looking at Susan like,
no, especially the last two.
Like she looked, when they first brought up all that, like, El Cucuy, he's like, I told you, I've been telling you this since I met you. This is why I have all these issues.
Yes.
And she looks, she goes, your grandma, they really used to tell you that if you go downstairs after everyone was asleep, that El Cucuy would take you away and eat you. I go, yes. And I was like, five or six. And I don't know but so it wasn't just me. And so they go into this, but it's really interesting and well done. There's a very True Detective season one feel to it, but there's a supernatural part to it. It's so, I mean, all I can tell you is this. I like things that are original and things that aren't like anything else, unique, and there's really nothing I can compare it to.
So now you can understand why I might have messed a number or two.
Right. No, if you're watching that, then I'm surprised you even said a number to begin with.
Right. That's why you get emails at 1:45. I was not sleeping.
But we made it through. We did it. We're done. And so you're
back.
Luckily, we didn't have any other guests lined up, so it didn't.
Right. Because they weren't getting called, you know.
You guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello, yeah. Dairy Department. Mm. Hey, you want to come on the show? You're the phone number.
I'll take that. I'll take that.
God only knows who we would call for Mike DeCourcy today.
I'll call Mike. Right.
Sir, this is NASA. Yeah. What?
Cape Canaveral, how you doing?
Right. So, was your trip good?
It was good, man. I feel great.
Refreshed. What city were you in?
I was in Buena Vista, Colorado.
Okay.
Good view.
So, I was right. A couple of people asked me. I said Colorado.
Yes, correct. Right. Correct. It's
Colorado.
Yep. Went up to Buena Vista up on the mountain, Canyon Springs, and did some work on Jake. Well, go up the mountain and try to come back down a better man. Yeah. So
now that you're back, why don't you do some work on that address book?
You got it.
On that Rolodex.
Yeah.
Huh? Do you still have a Rolodex, by the way?
No, I got a folder.
Oh, good.
I still do have a folder.
That's good. So
it's full of numbers.
Oh, boy. Last night in college basketball, you heard a highlight there from, well, that's about what we expected. Kansas taking care of Oklahoma State 83-58. And so Kansas 14-1. They have three games left at Kansas State in a rematch of the Sunflower Showdown. See if there's any more of those shenanigans going on after what happened in the first game. See if there will just be basketball played in Manhattan.
All right, the Sunflower Showdown.
We talked about, you said your friends have said that the last K-State game had a good crowd. I wonder.
Yeah.
And so I wonder what the ratio will be in Manhattan.
Hmm.
I mean, how many Kansas fans will get their hands on tickets to make the trip to Manhattan? Or will K-State fans just not let this happen? And even though this is a matchup featuring the first-place team and the last-place team, they'll still show up strong, and it'll be a purple crowd, and they'll still give Kansas hell. I wonder what.
That'll be interesting to see. I don't know.
You going to Manhattan for this one?
No, I'm not. I've got work to do on Saturday. So, Sporting Kansas City season opener that night. I was in Manhattan last year when K-State beat KU. If you remember that game, and I think it was Cartier Jada had the big dunk at the end of the game to kind of put the exclamation point on it. That was a big moment, K-State basketball history. So maybe there's KU fans that want to go to have a little revenge or whatever you call it, because they got, you know, that was a spot where they lost last year, and part of the reason that they had their conference winning streak come to an end at the hands of K-State. So maybe there'll be some KU fans that want to get out there because they'll feel better about their team's chances this time.
That's a 12:30 tip on CBS and right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. But they should win at Kansas State. They should come home and win against TCU. And then again, that's going to set up that final Saturday of the year when Kansas plays at Texas Tech, and Baylor plays at West Virginia. But I don't know. I told you yesterday that I thought West Virginia, I mean, I don't know what West Virginia can do now to get out of the top 25, because they just keep losing and losing, and they're still number 20, but then they lost again last night. They lose at Texas 67-57, and so now West Virginia under 500 in the Big 12 at 7-8.
Tied with Shaka Smart's Texas Longhorns.
Right, which is, again, this is remarkable. Only three teams with above 500 conference record in the Big 12.
Wow.
You've got Kansas at 14-1. You've got Baylor at 13-1. You've got Texas Tech at 9-5. Those are, you know, two terrific teams and one pretty damn good team that are all, I mean, you got two number one seeds in the tournament, and Texas Tech is a shoe-in for a tournament team. After that, West Virginia and Texas are tied at 7-8 in the conference. Oklahoma and TCU are 6-8. Iowa State 4-10. Oklahoma State 4-11. Kansas State 2-12. Texas is making a push now to be a tournament team.
Yeah,
that was a big win for them last night. I still think West Virginia is going to be a tournament team. So maybe Texas now is identifying themselves as the fifth tournament team. Oklahoma, after their bad loss to Oklahoma State by double digits, I don't know where they are. TCU, I mean, they're 6-8, 15-12 overall. And those are really the only teams in contention. Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, not in the discussion, but I mean, that's after Kansas and Baylor, that's the definition of just mediocrity, right? I mean, there's...
Yeah, or even worse than mediocrity.
Oh. What would you say?
Ocrity. I don't know. I don't know what's, like, one step below mediocrity and one step above being just flat out really bad.
And I don't know if this is a statement about
being
just
poor.
The shallow depth of college basketball, the top 25. Like I said, I don't know what West Virginia can do now to get out of the top 25. Maybe this was the final blow. But they've lost five of their last six.
Wow.
They just keep losing and losing and losing, and they still came in yesterday at number 20. Like I wouldn't put them in the top 25. Now would you?
I mean, no. I haven't looked at the other teams. Like you said, I don't know how bad the pool is of people you're choosing from. Obviously, it must not be very good. But
I feel like they're just like, Huggins, West Virginia, yeah. Press Virginia. Okay, 20. I mean,
yeah, they had a good non-con, but that was a while ago now.
I mean, some have been tough games, but they've lost at Oklahoma, they lost home to Kansas, they lost at Baylor, they beat Oklahoma State, and their last two losses at TCU and at Texas.
Yeah.
That ain't good.
Mm-mm.
And so, like I said, that they're in a free fall, and so what version of West Virginia will be facing Baylor the final game of the year? And so, just on paper, it looked like they were, you know, two even matchups for Baylor and Kansas to finish the season with, basically at the same time to see who wins, if there's going to be a team that wins it outright. I still would lean towards both teams winning, but I think it's pretty clear that Kansas has the tougher game on March 7th at Texas Tech versus Baylor playing at West Virginia. Could Baylor lose at West Virginia? Sure they could. But if you ask me right now, where would you rather play? I'd rather play at West Virginia versus playing at Lubbock.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a debate, right?
No, that's right. Now, Baylor does have to play Texas Tech in Waco.
Right. That's a tougher game than anything that Kansas has in the next two.
Yeah. It's in Waco, so obviously that's in their favor, but that's a tough game. Texas Tech seems to be playing a little bit better lately, too.
The Tech could win there.
Yeah.
That's not,
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't stun any of us, right?
That's nothing crazy, so that's at least on the table.
Texas has won three in a row after losing four in a row, so Texas is, like you said, they're headed in the right direction, but...
No, that was a big win for them last night.
Yeah, they got a couple tough games coming up, though, a couple road games, I think, at Texas Tech and at Oklahoma. So we'll see if they win those two games, then you might start to talk about Texas being a tournament team and Shaka Smart doing a good job in the second half of the season.
Yeah, Courtney Ramey looks good. He's been playing, was the last four games, 21 points, 15 points, 26, dropped 21 last night. He had 26 at K-State and then 21 last night against West Virginia. So the St. Louis, Missouri product, who shunned Mizzou and goes to Texas. Getting it done for Shaka Smart. So how much of the game did you watch between Kansas and Oklahoma State?
I watched most of it. It was it's about like you would have expected it to be, but it was cool to see Doak get to play in front of his brother that he hasn't seen in 8 years. That was a special moment, and he played well again, 19 points, 16 boards. A lot of dunks again for Doak. So that was fun to watch. Another game where Marcus Garrett, by the way, had 7 assists. He has figured out how to get the ball to Doak better than anybody. And goes back to what I said about how I think he's, in my mind, he's actually the most important player on KU's team.
Nate gave him his vote for Big 12 Player of the Year yesterday.
Yeah.
What do you think of that, Jake?
It's going to be interesting to see who they can give it to.
A lot of people think that Nate's just doing that for clicks and likes.
Are you doing it?
Social media follows.
Hot take.
Nate, are you not being authentic?
I'm just giving it for hot takes.
You just what's really inside your heart?
Right.
Is it really Doak?
No, it's Marcus Garrett.
Okay, that's what I thought. See, we just got to get down to it. There you go, people. Nate was just looking for clickbait.
No, Marcus Garrett is my guy.
Clickbait.
Dotson's my guy. That's what I give it to.
All three are incredibly important. Like, this team is not...
I'll give it to Doak because I liked his interview with Holly Rowe after the game.
Yeah.
I mean, Doak is a beast. I mean, he's probably the most he's probably the most unstoppable player in the Big 12 in terms of he's a matchup nightmare. Nobody has any answer for him. So I can see that. There's value there, obviously. So I can see giving him MVP of the league for that.
Did you hear his interview with Holly Rowe after the game against Baylor?
I did not.
You would have appreciated that. Very emotional.
Yep.
And I mean, I like that.
Yeah.
You know, you could tell it was very easy to see how much that game meant to him and the performance that he had. 23 points and 19 rebounds. So just because, you know, there's a tiebreaker I'm looking for, I like that interview. So
yeah.
Put you over the edge. I get it.
Right.
Holly Rowe's fantastic.
I saw Curtis Siebold said, I can't remember a basketball player who could dunk almost whenever he wanted the way that Doak can. And I was thinking, yeah, that's the first thing I thought of was Shaq. And you don't want to compare him to Shaq because there's nobody that compares to Shaq. But that's the only other example I could think of that just you threw it to him.
Yeah, just like you lob it around the rim, Shaq would just hammer it.
Yeah.
Don't want to compare him to Shaq, but let me compare him to Shaq. Here.
That's the first one that comes to your head. But outside of that, I don't, you know, I can't think of a guy.
Doesn't mean that any of us think he's going to be Shaq at the next level or anything like that. But he just that overpowering force that just wants to, you know, tear the rim down every time he catches the ball.
And Shaq played in a different era, so I think it's more impressive because there was a lot more presence in the middle of the floor. There was a lot more big guys that were elite big guys, and he was doing it on top of those guys.
Yeah. And that was the way the game. I mean,
yeah,
you could win titles.
Most people
did.
I mean, that's what you look for. That guy, you know, you look for the Lajuans, the Ewings, the guys like that you try to build around and win championships with.
We have Mike DeCourcy is going to be on the show today.
And Admiral David Robinson I love that guy.
Right. We have Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News on the show. We'll talk college basketball with him. Jamie Bloom is going to be in to talk baseball. We're going to have John Moxley, who's Jake's very excited about. He's going to be in studio.
AEW wrestler.
Right. And we're going to have the brand new owner of the T-Bones in studio with us to talk about the T-Bones. They got a big press conference out there today, and so we're going to get Nate involved as you're actually going to be Sizzle for one of the games coming up. We had that meeting yesterday and
you're going to be Sizzle.
Pull the trigger on that one. We're going to get you out there and throwing steaks around to people.
All sizzle and no steak.
Really excited. Really excited about that. Hey, by the way,
dream come true, right?
I was hanging out with Casey Wolf, and who loves the show. And so I know you butt heads with mascots.
Yeah. I'm not butting heads with that guy. He's a world champ.
To Casey Wolf at all times.
Hey, Casey Wolf. You win a Super Bowl, you got my respect.
Whatever vehicle he's driving around and he's listening to the Border Patrol. It doesn't say
three wheeler.
He's
a cerebral guy.
Right.
He thinks twice and talks once or zero.
Yeah, doesn't talk at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just wanted you to remember that next time you got some smart comment coming out of your mouth.
He's been around here before, maybe.
Sure he has. He loves it. Absolutely loves it.
I'll consider putting him on the next level.
Right. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So, well, Nate, I had a conversation with you about how different fighters handle their first loss or a big loss. Some of them are able to use that and become better.
Right.
You know, like Canelo Alvarez. You know, he had a huge loss on a gigantic stage against Floyd Mayweather. He wasn't knocked out, but he was thoroughly outboxed. But he learned from it, and he says that consistently, that he took a lot of lessons away from that fight, learned from it, and has turned himself into arguably the best fighter pound for pound in the world years later.
Mm-hmm.
There have been other fighters that took their first loss and responded well, continued their progression and became even better fighters. There are other fighters have never been the same after getting knocked out for the first time or their first loss, not even so much physically but mentally, and you just can't quite get over it. I mean, we've even seen it. The UFC, and the one that would come to mind would be Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Never, ever, ever the same once her cloak of invincibility was shredded. And so everybody was very curious to see what Deontay Wilder was going to say after the fight. You know, he was receiving medical attention, and reports he was going to go to the hospital. He didn't. He had 7 stitches in his ear to close that wound. Didn't go to the press conference because he was receiving medical attention. And so, and then there's debate whether or not he could have gone to the press conference. Anyway, he spoke finally yesterday. And again, remember, he has 30 days to declare whether or not he wants a rematch. That's part of the contract. People suggesting that he shouldn't do that. And I said, look, if you're looking just at his career as a boxer, maybe it would be better if he took a lesser fight, let Fury and Wilder fight in a mega fight in England, and then fight the winner of that, or just go a different route. But as I told you, if you're his financial advisor, if you're him, you're not going to say no to another $25 to $30 million. You're not. Who is? Who's going to? Nobody. And so he's already said he wants the rematch, and he spoke exclusively to Lance Pugmire for a long time. He wrote out in L.A., longtime boxing writer and writes for The Athletic now. Oh, boy. The wide variety of excuses now that are coming from Deontay Wilder are he is not doing himself any favors with what he is claiming happened to him and why he lost. Have you read any of these?
Well, I saw about the outfit.
Very, very difficult.
Was it a gardening accident?
And so here's no. So and here's what he said. Wilder told The Athletic, "The rematch is definitely going to happen. We're going to get it on. I want to get right back to it." And that's fine. Because some fighters' inclination would be, you know what, I need to go back to the drawing board. Back to the drawing board.
Right.
Or, you know, I want to get right back in there. That wasn't my best. I know I fought better than him. I'm better than that. I got to get back in there.
Back to the drawing board.
And that's one, many times a fighter needs to rely on the advice of his trainer or advisor, because most fighters want to get right back in it and get a rematch. And that's not always the correct decision. But here, financially, I mean,
$30 million.
You may never have a chance to have that kind of paycheck. You're setting up your family and your kids' kids for life. So he said, and this is another big problem that I had. Fury's 7th round TKO victory was sealed when Wilder's assistant trainer, former welterweight world champion Mark Breland, threw in the towel during a Fury flurry with Wilder on the ropes. He had been knocked down twice previously. Wilder was upset with the decision, questioning Breland's thought process in the moment. He told The Athletic that he is considering removing Breland from his corner moving forward. That's exactly what I told you yesterday. Mm-hmm. I told you that he's probably going to let Breland go, but I would consider moving on from JD's, the guy that said that it was a mistake to throw the towel in, because I thought Breland did the right thing. I still think he did the right thing. He's an Olympic gold medalist. He's a former welterweight world champion. He knows boxing infinitely better than JD's and knows that his fighter was in trouble and did not have much hope of doing anything to change the fight. And Wilder's not having it, and he said that he's considering removing Breland from his corner moving forward, and then added, Wilder said another major contributor to his first ever loss was weakened legs caused by his walkout outfit. The steel costume he wore in honor of Black History Month, according to Wilder, weighed more than 40 pounds. A lot of people saw it wasn't the same Deontay Wilder in there, and they're correct, Wilder said. It's my own fault. My uniform I wore was very heavy for me. I had no legs from the first round on. My main focus was to survive with my legs and not on the principles I know and normally think of. I couldn't follow up with the game plan because of my legs. I couldn't do anything. So, what's your immediate reaction when you hear that?
Well, when I was watching the fight with my buddy Jacob Peterson, while the walkout was going, he was like, "This outfit is so stupid." And I was like, "That's awesome, man. It's part of the pageantry." He goes, "No. How's that helping this guy fight? That's not going to help this guy get ready for the fight." And I was like, well, I don't think it's hurting his ability to fight.
So
I texted Jacob last night. I said, hey, maybe you were right. It seems like an excuse. But, hey, maybe Jacob was right.
That's a long walk and 40 pounds. I mean, how's that hurt your eardrum, though?
And the first thing that I thought of, too, though, with tired legs, watching the fight, Andre Ward, he's one of my favorite fighters and one of the best fighters of his era. They showed the split screen of Wilder constantly pacing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Fury is lounging on the couch, laughing and enjoying himself with his feet up. And Andre Ward said, man, if I was Wilder, I'd get off my feet. Why is he doing that? Why is he? I mean, look at Fury. That's what you're supposed to be doing right now. Mm-hmm. Some guys take a nap at that point.
Right.
And this is an hour or two before the fight. Wilder back and forth, back and forth, back. And I even looked at Fury and said, man, this ain't good. It looks like he can't control his nerves and just he's losing it. And Fury's just like, looks like as he's getting ready to go swimming.
Yeah.
And Andre Ward said it during the broadcast a couple hours before the fight, in the hours leading up to the fight, man, I'd get off my feet. You know, what advice should he be getting right now, Andre? First thing, I'd tell Wilder to get off his feet. You got to get off your feet right now, man. I don't know why he's doing that. So maybe it just wasn't the costume. It was everything. He didn't look right. We'll take a break. We'll talk more about this very interesting article at The Athletic after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So Deontay Wilder also talked to our man Kevin Ioli on the phone, Nate. So I have to talk to Kevin about this. Jeez. Wilder told Yahoo Sports by telephone, he didn't hurt me at all, but the simple fact is that my uniform was way too heavy for me. I didn't have no legs from the beginning of the fight. In the third round, my legs were just shot all the way through. But I'm a warrior, and people know that I'm a warrior. It could easily be told I didn't have legs or anything. A lot of people were telling me it looked like something was wrong with you. Something was, but when you're in the ring, you have to bluff a lot of things. I tried my best to do so. I knew I didn't have the legs because of my uniform. I was unable to put it on for the first time the night before. Didn't think it was going to be that heavy. Weighed 40 pounds. The helmet and all the batteries. So then he went on to blame Mark Breland for throwing the towel. And then he also apparently not making excuses, but then went into a long tirade about the referee. Now, I do think the referee left a lot to be desired. And there were a lot of punches, you know, rabbit punches, punches behind the head, a lot of holding, a lot of headlocks, a lot of grappling and everything else. But also, you know, if they're letting Fury get away with it, then they'd let you get away with it. And it was a very grueling, rough physical fight. And he wasn't right. And there were I think a couple of things to that. He got hit hard early, and the one punch that knocked him down, again, inadvertently, it wasn't an intentional foul by Fury, but just because of the angle and the way Wilder's body was contorted, he got hit in the back of the head hard. Yeah. And guess what? He was concussed, and he wasn't right. But it's taking all these things. You're taking, and he went in to say, I don't want to take anything away from Tyson Fury. Well, you are. Yeah. You are.
That's like when you say, all due respect, and then you say something really disrespectful. Well,
the biggest problem he had in that fight was Tyson Fury.
Yeah.
And Tyson Fury's aggression and different style that Deontay Wilder was not prepared for. And I've seen this in the past dealing with fighters. I went through this on a much smaller scale when I lost in the Golden Gloves. Fighters sometimes, especially guys that are undefeated and haven't lost, when they lose, they cannot come to terms with it. It takes a while, and they sure as hell can't come to terms with it a day or two later. And what's there on film, what happened, it doesn't register with them. There's no way I went in there and got my ass beat and got stopped and got dominated. No, that didn't happen. My uniform, the referee, my trainer, all these things. And there's going to be a point when Deontay, when that does settle in for him, and he understands that. It doesn't happen within 48 hours. It is a very difficult, emotional thing when you lose, when you build yourself up, and you're the heavyweight champion of the world, and all the hype and everything leading up to this, and then you get your ass kicked. But fighters get their ass kicked and come back, and they can learn from it and be better, but they have to have the right attitude. They have to be willing to admit, you know what? I didn't lose because of my legs. I didn't lose because of the ref. I didn't lose because of my assistant trainer throwing the towel. I lost because I did not have the right game plan. I was not prepared the right way, and the other guy was better than me that night. And if you go back to the gym, there's a chance you could be better than that guy the next time you fight. That's what happens in trilogies. That's what happens in rematches. The same guy doesn't always win, but if you have the attitude, oh, I had everything done right, but just my legs were hurt, and this referee screwed me, and he hit me behind the head, and my trainer, you're looking for something that isn't there. When the actual answer is, Fury was the better fighter that night and beat you. And he might, and it might, that might happen again if they fight.
Yeah, but it's got a better chance of happening if you don't learn anything from this fight.
If you go in there and do the same damn thing, and you think, you know what, now if I just go with a simple robe and not a 40-pound outfit, I'll be fine. And
get a better
if
ref.
I get Mark Breland out of there, who's trying to protect me and protect my life, get him out of the corner, and got my guy who won't throw the towel in. If I get a different referee that's not going to, you know, then it'll be okay. Well, what's your game plan? How are you going to combat now an aggressive Tyson Fury?
Yep.
How are you going to prevent him from smothering your punches and taking away your power because he won't let you throw punches at your comfortable range? What are you going to do? How are you going to do this? Tyson Fury didn't like his performance the first time against Wilder, fired his trainer, brought in a new trainer, changed his gained 16 pounds, and changed his style completely.
Right.
Now, what are you going to do? Anthony Joshua, after he got knocked out by Ruiz, changed his style completely, went more of a boxer, didn't stand, didn't trade, and he won his title back. What are you going to do? You have to change what you have to change what you did to be successful in the next fight. We'll see, but a bizarre list of excuses from Deontay Wilder. And he wasn't right. And he's probably trying to figure it out. He's never felt that way. He's never felt that way in the ring. Because you get your ass kicked in the ring and your legs are gone. You're like, what the hell's going on? This can't be. What's happening to me? It happens. It happens to everyone if you fight long enough. Back after this on WHB. Next time I come home later than I'm supposed to, I'm gonna tell Susan, man, my outfit was too heavy. It slowed me down. I would have been home like an hour ago, but I didn't. My legs were so tired. So my outfit was heavy. Do you think?
Oh yeah, that'll work.
Really?
No. She'll take it.
I've got this size 8 pumpkin on my shoulders. It weighs me down. My legs are so tired from. So, I mean, it's worth a try. It's, you know.
Right. I think it's worth it.
How heavy my outfit is. How could I possibly be here on time?
So. Yeah, I'm telling you, it was really funny when we were watching the fight. Jacob Peterson, who does the. Gonna do the sporting games with me, played MLS for a long time, and he was watching, he was getting angry. He's a very competitive guy, and he was getting angry. He's like, this is just ridiculous. This is ridiculous. And
did he not like Fury's?
He thought that wasn't such a bad idea because he wasn't on his feet. He really did. He was like,
just sit there.
He's like, he said, but putting on that costume, man, that doesn't get you ready for the fight. That's not gonna help him.
Even like did you watch at the beginning of the night when he arrives, the arrival, and he walked through the, he slowly walked through the food court of the MGM Grand.
Wilder did.
I do this long walk, and they did the split screen. It was in the during the first fight.
Yeah.
And so when Fandora was fighting, the 6'7 guy against the 5'9 guy, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And so the split screen of that fight during the first fight, and then you had Wilder, and now Wilder walking through the food court at MGM Grand, and then he's walking through the kitchen like Goodfellas, and the walk took like, and I kept like, this is so, what is he doing? And so I don't know, just the whole thing from the beginning like was handled even before, like in Fury looked like he was ready, he was getting ready to just, you know, go play a round of golf or something, just sitting in the clubhouse, yeah, it's awesome, isn't it, you know. And man, listen to your trainers. The trainers that actually care about you. We will take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. We're going to talk to Mike DeCourcy now from the Sporting News. And Nate's going to tell him who the real Big 12 Player of the Year is, and we'll see what Mike's reaction is to that. Gary Lezak is not going to be on with us, but Jeff Penner. But that's all right. We're just glad that Jeff Penner's going to join us. Jamie Bluma will be in studio. John Moxley is going to pin Jake Gutierrez at 9:05. And the new owner of the T-Bone, Mark Brandmeier. All that and more coming up right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.